Gross and Ken Barkley, they bring you the betting insight, laughs, and some rants along the way.
People can kind of take any situation and kind of like turn it into content. They've got momentum. Oh, yes, they also haven't played in like 5 days. So, like, yeah. What do you mean they've got momentum?
Like, they got momentum.
Tournaments ended on Saturday or Sunday. Right. First game's not till Thursday or Friday. What momentum? What are we talking about here?
We'll give you an edge to beat the spread and so much more.
This is what awards are. It's the perception of what's happening, not what's actually happening, right? One of my big rules is when the voters tell you who they're going to vote for, just believe them. Just go bet it. Don't be like, you're stupid. They're the ones voting. Whatever, they have them all second. Who cares? They can have you second. I'd go bet you.
What do we call that? Wagertainment. It's You Better You Bet from BetQL.
And welcome back. You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. PJ Glasser, Kate Constable in for Nick Costos, and Ken Barkley flying back from Vegas. They will be back tomorrow. Kate, I was just watching the video, I don't know if you've seen it yet, on Twitter of Kevin Harlan calling that game-winning shot from Furman. Have you seen his reaction yet and all the other announcers?
No, I haven't. I'm a big Kevin Harlan fan, so I got to check that out.
He's the best. It's just awesome to watch his reaction during that play. Is that the biggest moment so far from the tournament, you think, is that shot from Furman? I'm trying to think. Like, the Dickinson guy hit three. That was huge, right, when we all kind of knew, like, the upset was going to happen. But I think so far that Furman shot probably got to be the moment of the tournament, right?
Well, yeah, and because it was, like, the first big upset of the tournament. Like, that was the first big moment of the tournament where you're like, wow, this is March. This is the best time of the year. The tournament's back. Getting all excited. So I think you got to say that is, especially because it was a true buzzer beater to win the game, or as close as, you know, we've seen in the tournament. But Fairleigh Dickinson, that three was big, but not quite the same dramatic effect as that three from Furman to win, especially just the way it happened to the Clark's error. Like, oh, that was just terrible. But yeah, big moment.
Some people who had TCU plus 4.5 last night might tell you it was the second best moment after that Damian Ball shot, right? That was incredible.
True.
My God, I couldn't believe that. Yeah. I couldn't believe that.
Talk about videos circulating on Twitter. The one I saw, one of some sports book in Vegas that everyone was just losing their minds at. People upset at that it didn't cover, than those that were all excited that TCU did cover with that shot. That was pretty wild.
I've never seen a swing like that. TCU was down by 4, and then they foul with 0.7 left. So they went from covering to not covering when Gonzaga hit both free throws. And then with 0.7 left, the TCU guy has the wherewithal to let the ball roll up. He drills a three. The best part is the crowd reaction in the arena, fully knowing that covered the spread. And then Avery Johnson, one of the broadcasters too, on the call, he was like, that was significant to some or something. It was it was just awesome. So, yeah, that game to end the night was just incredible for a lot of people. You either went to bed very happy or very upset. All right, Kate, let's turn our attention to NFL free agency. While all the madness was going on, we did have some stuff go on in the NFL as well. Let's look at the NFC East. So we were talking with Trevor Sikkema earlier about this division a little bit. Dallas Cowboys, they made some moves. They got Brandon Cooks to come over from Houston as their wide receiver. Dallas gave up a 2023 fifth rounder and a 2024 sixth round draft pick for Brandon Cooks. Thoughts on the addition? Obviously, they got rid of Amari Cooper a couple years ago, and they really missed him, it looked like, in that playoff game against San Francisco. CeeDee Lamb was really the only weapon they had on the outside. So now they bring over Brandon Cooks. Do you like the addition that the Cowboys made?
Yeah, I do, especially because I don't feel like they had to give up a whole lot to get him. And he's a good, solid player. I mean, if you look at his numbers, 57 receptions for almost 700 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he missed 4 games last season. So, I mean, he's put up at least 1,000 receiving yards in 6 of the seasons that he's been in the league, which is pretty impressive. And you put him next to CeeDee Lamb, just another weapon that this Dallas wide receiver group has, with Michael Gallup, T.Y. Hilton also in the mix, and someone that, you know, with Dak throwing him the ball, that's a little bit different this season than where he was last year with the Texas quarterback situation. So I would expect him to excel a little bit more in who's passing him the ball. My only concern is, like, he's been traded so many times.
I know he
kind of asked out of Houston. Like, there were some issues there, but what's the deal with that? That would almost concern me a little because he hasn't been sticking around on teams for very long.
I know. I remember when Cooks was drafted by the Saints and he was coming out of Oregon State as a rookie, and Sean Payton was saying, this guy does like one or two things every day in training camp that just makes you go crazy. And like you said, he gets traded then after a couple of years to the Rams, and then he gets shipped off again and again, and now he's with Dallas. So I'm with you. It's kind of weird to see a receiver like this who really has never been considered as like an upper echelon receiver in the league, but he's definitely serviceable, right? He's a professional. He's very good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. You got to learn another new playbook. Dallas obviously got rid of Kellen Moore, so now Dak's going to have kind of a new full-time OC that he's got to work with. You lose Zeke. Tony Pollard's coming off injury. Dalton Schultz probably isn't going to be there. So they really are going to rely on Brandon Cooks a lot, because outside of CeeDee Lamb, they're going to need Cooks to be very productive for them in that offense. And then defensively, we know that they traded for Stephon Gilmore. And then, of course, they released Ezekiel Elliott. I know you asked Trevor about Ezekiel Elliott. Did you think that was the right move by Dallas? Did you think it was time to move on from Zeke?
Yeah, I did, especially because I just found myself last season saying, give the ball to Tony Pollard. Like, what are we doing? Just give the ball to Pollard. I didn't think Zeke should have gotten quite as many touches as he did. And I know it still wasn't, you know, the numbers that he's used to in his career, but he was one of the worst running backs in the NFL last season. So if you're talking about trying to upgrade your roster, his contract as well, Trevor talked about that. Like, that was just too much for the Cowboys to keep around. But I mean, I know Jerry Jones loves Dak, and so that was hard for him to let go, but I almost feel like it was a little too late. Like, they should have maybe done this a year or so ago. But I agree that finally getting around to releasing him was the right move this year, because Pollard is a better back. And he's shown that over the years.
Oh, no doubt. Tony Pollard's been better the last couple of years. It's a shame, too, because I was watching old highlights on Twitter. People were posting videos of, like, Zeke when he first came in the league. And, yeah. I mean, man, you forget, like, how ridiculous he was. Obviously, he was incredible at Ohio State, won a national championship. But, yeah, just, you know, suffered injuries, was really never the same guy. Pollard's really been much better the last couple of years and does so much. So I'm sure it was tough for Jerry and the organization, but I think it is the right thing to move on, use some resources elsewhere to try and improve your team. We also talked about with Trevor what the Eagles did. They were not only able to re-sign Darius Slay, but James Bradbury as well, and then they lose C.J. Gardner-Johnson to the Detroit Lions. So heading into this season, Kate, for you, do you feel like the Eagles are still the team to beat in that division?
In that division, maybe. I worry about them because didn't they lose their offensive and defensive coordinator from last season? And so you had that fantastic defense, but is that going to look the same with a new coordinator coming in? And same with the offense. Like, does Jalen Hurts continue to take the steps forward with a new coordinator coming in? So those are some questions that I have there. I think keeping those two backs players in the secondary were very important. And yeah, they did have to get rid of Gardner Johnson, but to keep two of the three of them, that was big for them. So I think they're going to be another contender once again, but you look at how the Cowboys aren't far behind them, plus 175. And then the Giants, who knows what's going to happen there, but with Saquon Barkley franchise, like, he's going to be there again this year. Brian Daboll did a ton for that organization last year. I see them taking another step. So I almost kind of feel like this division could end up being wide open with the exception of the Commanders. I don't think they have a chance.
I was going to ask you that next about the NFC East. Do you think the odds are as short as they are? Because the Eagles are plus 110, Dallas is plus 175. We know it's been like 20 years since we've seen a repeat winner in the NFC East. There's consistently so much turnover. Do you think that's what's built into the odds here? Or do you truly believe like the gap is that tight between Dallas and Philly?
No, I think the Cowboys are the, what's the equivalent in another league? I don't know. The Cowboys are the favorite all the time. Cowboys are like Duke, where a line is kind of baked into it because it's the Cowboys or it is Duke. And I kind of feel like that's what we're getting here, especially because the Cowboys have made some moves in the offseason. Like releasing Ezekiel Elliott sounds like a really big deal for the average fan who doesn't know what Zeke's production has been like over the last couple of years, because he's been one of the faces of the franchise and he was the guy there. And so when people see the Cowboys kind of making these moves, moving their roster around, maybe it's giving people more hope, false hope maybe. But yeah, I don't think the Cowboys are quite there yet, but the line, yeah, indicates it a little bit.
Definitely does. I was surprised that the odds were that tight. I think Philadelphia, they're far and away. I mean, them and San Francisco have the two best rosters far and away in the league. The Eagles have the best quarterback in the conference. So was a little surprised that it was that tight. What do you think of the Giants? We know what they did this offseason, gave the franchise to Saquon Barkley, re-signed Daniel Jones. Do you think the Giants, after an impressive year one against Brian Daboll, could you see maybe throwing some money on them at 5-1 to potentially win the NFC East?
I mean, you could. I'm not sure I could sit here and recommend it and say that I think it would be a very smart bet, but I don't see them being worse than they were last season, and they weren't bad. They had some good wins, so I definitely see them taking a step forward, especially another year under Daboll. You have Saquon Barkley back. Daniel Jones, I'm just not high in Daniel Jones, so that's what the hang-up for me is I don't fully trust him to be an elite quarterback in this league. And yeah, they paid him quite a bit of money, so they're showing that they have faith in him, but I really don't have any faith in him, and so I would not put my money on the Giants to win this division. But if you like some of the pieces there, plus 500, that's not a bad number.
It is a good number. I'm with you on Daniel Jones. There's something about him. Like, he's just like, he's fine. You know, he's like the
Kirk Cousins. He doesn't have, like, the dog in him that is, like, the ultimate competitor. And maybe he does, but he just doesn't outwardly show it. And that's what I want to see.
Right. Yeah. I like Daboll a lot as a coach. They traded for Darren Waller, which, I mean, when Waller's healthy, one of the best tight ends in football, so I like that pickup. The defense was very good, but I'm with you on Daniel Jones. I don't know. I don't know if he's the guy that can take the Giants to where they want to go. Can they win a division under him? I mean, sure. Like, Kirk Cousins and the Vikings just won the division, right? So it absolutely can. I don't know if they're going to do anything in the playoffs, but Giants at 5-1 are interesting. You said you don't want any part of the Commanders at 10-1. Is that just because of the other teams in the NFC? Is it because Sam Howell's likely going to start for them at quarterback? Is it all the distractions that they got going on with ownership right now? Is it all the above? What makes you just completely off of the Commanders?
It's all the above. More so than anything, the other teams in the division. But you have all of the distractions that go on with the Commanders that I just feel like until they get all the off-field issues resolved and not in the headlines anymore, this team's going to struggle to put up a good performance on the field. And then you talk about their quarterback, Sam Howell. I'm not sure I have much confidence in him to lead this team, you know, to win a division or to be competitive in it. So yeah, I would not recommend putting any money on the Commanders unless you're like a diehard Commanders fan and want to will that into existence. But with the Eagles, Cowboys, and Giants, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, because this NFC East is always, it seems like, the most up for grabs division. Again, we haven't seen a repeat winner in like the last 20 years. I do think it's going to be the Eagles. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be all that good this season. I mean, they have some pieces on defense. It really all comes down to Dak, right? I mean, Dak's got to take care of the football better. I like Dak more than most, but Kate, he just turned the ball over way too much last season. What do you think about Brett Maher? I feel like we haven't been talking about him a lot. Do you think he comes into this season with like a fresh slate? Do you think the yips are out of the way from all those misses, or do you think like that's maybe a concern heading into this season with Dallas?
That's a huge concern, especially if your quarterback is Dak, who maybe, you know, isn't throwing a ton of touchdowns and you're having to settle for field goals and things like that. And I mean, those are points right there that can win you football games. That can be the difference. And with his struggles last year, and that's all mental too, which is, I think, would be harder to overcome than something physical. is to go up there every game and to be kicking and think, I better not miss this. Otherwise, I'm going to be the talk of the internet and everything for the next week. And I might not have a job after this, too. So with your job basically on the line with every kick, yeah, that would concern me a little.
My favorite thing ever was when they played the Niners in the playoffs and the Fox TV crew, after Dallas scored a touchdown, could not pan to Brett Maher fast enough. They're like, we are not missing this field goal attempt. And that was some entertainment there for a while, unless you were a Cowboys fan. I'm sure that was not fun to watch. All right, from the NFC East to the AFC East, is Aaron Rodgers going to be going to the Jets? What about the moves the Dolphins and the Patriots made? We're talking about that next here on You Better You Bet. PJ Glasser, Kate Constable.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.